Hello, everybody. This is the translation of the message for the 19th of October. The Great Attractor. Why are you meeting this morning? At first glance, on a human level, the church is just an association like so many others, with the same challenges or difficulties as elsewhere. But then, what distinguishes a church from any other human association? But remember what the church is founded on, Jesus Christ. You are a gathering of people who have been impacted in one way or another by this figure, in a more or less intense or inspired way. What changes is not what you do, but what he does in your life, in your group of people. That is what the church is, an association of people who share this same attraction and who are transformed together by this interaction, a human space where one lives and shares this impact of Christ. But what is this impact? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What Paul understood here is that Christ has a very profound impact on our way of seeing the world. In the Bible, we speak of metanoia, a change of perspective or understanding. This is what Christ does in your life, even if you don't see it so radically all the time. Christ is this look of God at the heart of your life. This is what happens in Christ. Have you ever wondered about this strange title of Jesus Christ, Word of God? In fact, it's quite simple to understand. Jesus Christ is what God says about our humanity, not theorems or fables, but a way of experiencing the divine, a posture of a beloved son. Do you welcome this perspective on your humanity? Simple, direct, but not easy in concrete terms. We prefer beautiful declarations that only engage those who want to hear them. But that's okay. Progressivity is part of God's plan, and the paths are as varied as the testimonies you can share with each other. In fact, God touches us where we are able to hear him. He begins to work with us where we are ready to be open to his presence. And where do we find it easier to open up? Most of the time, it's where we are able to be curious and recognize his need. This is exactly what happens throughout Jesus' ministry. The impact he has in his encounters varies, but each time he creates a movement in lives, even a tremor, and this movement can grow. Here's a short quiz. The crowds. You can read Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 34, and chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. The question is, what did they do most? They listened to him. For them, he is the one who heals and teaches. We read about the 500 in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. These were first-hand witnesses of Jesus' masterstroke. The impact? It inspired them. For them, he is the visionary. We read about the 120 in Acts chapter 1 verse 15. Here we are at the beginning of the church. The master has just retired. What happens? They find themselves drawn in his wake, set in motion. For them, he is the shepherd. We read about the 70 in Luke chapter 10 verse 1. There are fewer in number, those whom Jesus sends on training courses. He trained and coached them. For them, he is the one who mobilizes. We read about the 12 in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Here the circle shrinks. They are in the inner circle. They have shared the master's daily life. Those who have shared his daily path, for them, he is the master. Then we read about the 3. In Mark chapter 5, verse 37, Luke chapter 9, verse 28, and Mark chapter 14, verse 33, those who have shared intimacy, those in whom he has invested himself personally, He is their big brother, their mentor. What attracts them to him? What attracts us to him? These are very concrete needs, physical or intellectual. This is very normal. It's even good to be able to identify what connects us to him. That's gratitude. But the relationship with Christ doesn't stop there. Jesus' influence progresses in the lives of those who come into contact with him. At first, it's their needs that are important. Healing, food, teaching, etc. Their relationship is distant. Jesus' presence initially resonates with their concerns. But as they draw closer, it's Jesus himself, his person, who becomes important, to the point that their needs become secondary. Gradually, Jesus reveals himself as a collaborator, as a friend, even in the closest and most personal circle, that of family intimacy. As experience and life experience increase, the relationship with the Master is enriched. Have you noticed this change of perspective in your own spiritual journey, in the place of Jesus, and especially your positioning in this relationship? Let's retrace the journey. One day, I hear about Jesus. My image is blurry, perhaps clouded by all sorts of things I've heard about him. Yet, this character speaks to me, much like the crowds who came to him. I hear about Jesus and I move a little closer to get a better look. First contact. I'm in this crowd, drawn to someone by the originality of the character, by the impact he has on these people. Healings, food. I'm in the first circle of those Jesus attracts. I'm initially curious about this Jesus for what he does for people and for his astonishing speech. Then gradually I discover his vision of the world and it inspires me. It begins to make stars twinkle in my sky. Butterflies begin to flutter in my stomach. I'm in the second circle. I'm beginning to be captivated by this visionary Jesus. These words, this vision, shake me. They make me want to move and get moving. They shake my comfort zone. I react. I'm in the third circle. I'm shaken by the Good Shepherd who stirs his flock. I then discovered that this message from Jesus was indeed addressed to me personally. Little by little, Jesus' vision began to impact my way of seeing and acting. He mobilized me and gradually diverted my attention from my fears and blocked reasoning. There, I entered the fourth circle. I discovered that I was concerned by this extraordinary leader. As I progressed, experiences began to accumulate. Jesus became an indispensable partner in my life. He became increasingly involved in my life, and our relationship began to seriously shape my existence. His vision took shape in my own life. My path became our path. Jesus is the Master, my Rabbi, who transforms my existence. I am his disciple. I am in the fifth circle. I am now consecrated to this Master. That is, my life is set apart for this relationship. Then comes the sixth circle. I discover myself in a new light. I am the image of Christ, his brother or sister. He shares everything with me. He doesn't keep me at a distance in one circle or another. He has always wanted to draw me closer to him, into his intimacy. I was born into this world so that we might walk together to be in relationship with him. Through him, I discover a father, a family. In him, I am a new creation. I discover that I have been adopted. Take the time to reflect on this. Your relationship with Jesus is not a notarial deed that you would have established in the past. It is not a legal contract. It is a covenant that God established with humanity, with you. And every day the Holy Spirit works to weave and strengthen this relationship, to bring out this image of Christ at the heart of your existence. In your life, it doesn't always happen with great visible effects, but it's always an adventure that radically transforms your life and your way of perceiving. That's true for your life. But now realise where you are sitting Around you there are other people who are also challenged in their own way. There are surely many others who are potentially challenged in this city. The church is not a closed club for specialists in a selfish reality. The church is the event that brings together people who are challenged in various ways by Christ. The church is where we experience this movement together, where we can see how Christ acts through my neighbour and also through me. The church is the place where we discover and share this attraction of Christ and where we share it. Ultimately, being a Christian doesn't rely so much on your ability to commit yourself or to hold your place in the pews of a church. Rather, it relies on the influence Christ exerts on you. It is this influence that makes you a Christian. This influence takes various forms throughout your life, but the Holy Spirit is constantly working to make it grow. He makes you more and more intimate with your Master. He makes you a little Christ. Here's an inspiring word to conclude. John chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Amen.